You are listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm Amy Alpers. Wes, we've had a big couple weeks. Lots of things happening. How you doing? How you been feeling?
It's been busy. It's been a little crazy, but we had a very successful Brewfest after a ridiculous heat wave, and so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, it was crazy after coming off of like 5 days of over 110 weather, and then Brewfest Day was like, what was the high? Like barely 89. Yeah, and it was cloudy, and couldn't have been more grateful for no sunshine. Like, drinking in the sun is never a good mix for me personally, so I was grateful that it was like an overcast day for everyone.
You don't even drink at Brewfest.
Well, I know I don't get to, but I vicariously through everyone else, I was like, oh, the shade is good, you know, after these days and days of heat. So it was awesome. And then, yeah, right out of Brewfest, we headed on down to McAllen, Texas. And what happened there, Wes? What happened for us?
Well, we went to the International Festival and Events Association annual conference where we accepted our award for Best New Festival.
Woo, woo, woo. For Stockton Flavor Fest.
Yes.
That's right.
And which, you know, International Festival and Events Association. So we competed against, there were some global events up for awards. And so it was exciting. It was really like, you can get gold, silver, bronze. Of course, we wanted the gold, which was the top award, because we wanted to be able to say we were the best new festival. And actually, the other cool thing is there was a 3-year judging period. So the judging period was 19, 20, 21. Okay, part of 22, three and some years.
But, that's right.
Yeah, we won all of that period for Best New Festival Flavor Fest. So yeah, we were thrilled. It was a great way to come back to share all that good news with our team and our Flavor Fest family. So we're
yeah,
excited.
That's right. And now when you see us in the streets, you can address us as the international award-winning Amy and Wes. That's the only thing we will respond to from now on when you see us in and around Stockton. Yeah. Oh, it was very cool. It felt good to be recognized by peers. It felt good to get a designation like this to bring back to the city of Stockton, have something to be proud of. And we're very excited to get to, you know, do this again for everyone next year. So it was very cool. And you guys, with that, we're excited. We have with us today Mariah Taloa. She is the owner of Taloa's Bakery. So thank you, Mariah, for being with us today and taking some time to talk with us. very excited to learn about you and the bakery. So we want to kick things off and just ask you to share a little bit about your history and what kind of brought you to Stockton.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Wes and Amy. I'm excited to be on this podcast with you guys, hearing that you guys have up to, what was it, 500 followers or people listening.
That's
so
right.
That's like, yes. So thank you so much. And yeah, so I'm Mariah, Mariah Taloa. I own Taloa's Bakery and co-founder of Community Hub. A background about myself, I actually grew up in the Bay Area, born in San Francisco, very proud.
Love it.
Awesome.
And so during the early, what was it, in the early 2000s, there was like some sort of tech boom. My family decided to move to Tracy. And from there, I grew up throughout my high school years. I went to Tracy High. Woo! Those of you out there. Went to Tracy High. Graduated 2010. Ooh, I don't want to say that out loud. Ooh, 2010. But yeah, so then how I ended up in Stockton, I actually have my full time is I am an events coordinator for a tech company in Sacramento. I work remote, thank the Lord, but I only need to go out there when we have our conferences. So I am part of the planning committee for planning our annual conference. So super exciting for that. But anyways, how I ended up in Stockton was during the pandemic. I was out in Sacramento because of my job. And so because of the pandemic, a lot of people were able to move or work remote, right? So I said, you know what? I kind of miss home. So at first I was looking at Tracy, and because I, for those, I think we all know here in our community, Tracy got expensive when it came to housing, especially during 2021, I'd say. And so I was like, you know what? can't afford a home there. So I looked in Stockton. And so I'm very happy to be here in Stockton, have been living here since 2021. It's a nice location in South Stockton, very quiet, gated community. I feel so fancy in my gated community.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's a little bit more about me and my background. Did you want me to go into Tullis Bakery or anything?
Well, that's a great transition because, you know, it's funny, you've obviously been in the county, you know, for a while and lived here, but you've made quite a presence in Stockton, of course. We've heard of Tullis Bakery. We wanted to get you into Flavor Fest last year, and I know you're going to try to be there in 23.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. So tell us a little bit about why you decided to open up this bakery and talk about its history. I'm really interested.
Yeah. So what inspired me, so I went to culinary school in Le Cordon Bleu in San Francisco back in 2011. So right after high school, I've always dreamed of being a baker and owning my own cute little bake shop parlor or ice cream parlor. And in high school, people would make fun of me because, you know, people aspire to be like, oh, I want to be, you know, doctor or lawyer, you know, like they have all these presentations and everything. But there I am, 17-year-old Mariah with my little board. I want to be a baker. I want to own my own bakery.
So cute.
People thought, well, back, you know, 10 years ago, the mindset was very different. But yeah, I wasn't necessarily made fun of, but it was just kind of like, you know, like what? So it took a very long time to actually have Tullis Bakery come into fruition. So I actually started working after culinary school, I started working in the food industry. So I don't know if you guys know, I have culinary experience or food industry experience with, Slanted Door in San Francisco. So I used to work there as a pastry lead and a lead line cook. I worked at EC Ice Cream in Berkeley. I don't know if you guys know EC Ice Cream.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to replicate those restaurants in the ice cream parlor and bring it to Stockton just because my motto for me is like bringing the Bay to the Valley, because that was me as a child. From the Bay to the Valley, that was me. And so I actually started about Tullis. It wasn't even Tullis Bakery. It was just like, I want to do a bakery that has Samoan and Filipino pastries. And I didn't know the name. And this was in 2017. I didn't know what to do. I was scared. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I've seen other people do it. And I'm like, okay, well, if they can do it, then I can do it type thing, right? So I would say what really activated it was me working, or it wasn't really working. I was volunteering for a nonprofit in San Francisco. Some of the listeners may know, some may not. It's called Undiscovered SF. It is a nonprofit in San Francisco that specifically helps or creates events that brings economic development to a specific area. It's called Soma Filipinas. It's a cultural district in San Francisco. So I volunteered for them. I was actually the it was a food vendor coordinator. So I was the person that got all the permits together. All the food vendors would come, just like Stockton Flavor Fest. All the vendors would come. I would make sure they had all their permits, insurance, X, Y, and Z. And we would host these large events in 2019. We had about 5,000 attendees for that event. It was amazing. I know. And I was like, wow.
You want to be on a volunteer committee for Stockton Flavor Fest?
I was about to say.
Oh, don't like, tempt us. Yeah.
If you guys need help. And so I was like, I love this. And I saw the food vendors. I have culinary experience. I gained some sort of, you know, event experience. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm ready to start Tullis Bakery. So 2020, when I moved here to Stockton, there's the cottage permit, right? For those listeners out there, there's a cottage permit. And I've outgrown the cottage permit. Like, I have my speed racks and all my ingredients all over the place. My boyfriend's like, you need a place. And so 2020, that's when the passion project started. I think that's when a lot of people started their passion projects. I think mostly because, unfortunately, some people were like laid off and everything. So they really had to make money and provide for their families. So for me, I still work at my full time. I feel a little spoiled, like, oh, well, everyone was kind of getting laid off. I was like, oh, not really concerned about it. So I really appreciate my full time for allowing me to continue to fund Tullis Bakery, because it takes a lot of money, especially starting up. Yeah.
Oh my God. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that I love hearing those stories. Like, you're obviously not the only person we've talked to who during COVID found the opportunity to come to Stockton. Like, people were like, oh, yeah. I can afford a house. I can get a backyard. Mm-hmm. I can like have a yes. pet and not have exactly. them in an apartment and all these things. So yeah. we're having this insurgence of in town of these like yes. creative young people who are deciding to like come to Stockton and make it their new home. And it has yeah. just added all this life and energy into this yeah. city. I mean, I came back to Stockton during COVID as well. So there's just, I don't know, the momentum of it all is really exciting. And I think too, for a lot of us, obviously, Mariah, you have a ton of energy. I've just found out in the past like 5 minutes of you telling us about your story. But I think myself included, we found these opportunities during COVID where we weren't able to like get that energy out in our normal ways to like put it into something else. So like,
yes,
I was drawing exactly. portraits. You started a bakery. Like all these yes. people started doing these things. I don't know. We got to tap into something else. So, you know, yes. I can recognize that COVID times were hard for a lot of people, but there really was a unique time for people to kind of like step back and be like, what do mm-hmm. I like to do now that no. I'm not going yeah. volunteering for all these things I used to do and everything else? So I don't know. No, that's very cool that we're getting to have you in Stockton while you're yes. exploring this like hyper creative side of yourself. So
yes. And I actually, Stockton is a hidden gem. I know it gets a rep from around the country, around the world about, you know, its reputation and everything. But honestly, like if they just really come to Stockton and see how amazing it is, like they would think twice, you know? And of course, every city has their rough patches, you know, but they also have a beautiful part. For me, it's the Weber's Point Center where Stockton Flavor Fest had their event. There was also, what was it, Family in the Park, you guys said? Family Day in the Park, yes. And I saw it. I was like, wow, they're doing amazing things. And so I know Amy was like, if you want to volunteer, like, don't tempt me too, because I'm a person that's like, yeah, yeah, anything for the community. And my boyfriend's like, you need to slow down.
Boyfriends and husbands are always trying to tell us to chill out. That's what they do. So I love it. Yeah. Okay, so back to Tillow's Bakery. Sorry, yes. we could talk about how much we love Stockton all day. Yeah. I guess that's the point of this podcast. But so you mentioned that part of the inspiration for this bakery was like blending together two cultures. So like Samoan yes. and Filipino. So how's that been? How's that been received for people? Like you kind of combining these things into your bakery?
I feel like I got on the train at the right moment, if I'm Heck honest, yes. Because I feel like it wouldn't have been successful prior to COVID. But I feel because a lot of all these new businesses were coming up, like, I don't know if you guys heard at the end when I like do some like shout outs and all that, but you know, Casa Pinoy, you guys had her for Stockton Flavor Fest. Who else? There was a bunch of other people. There's like this Malasada business you guys also had for, like a lot of businesses were coming up because of COVID, and I just love that opportunity. So for Tillow's Bakery, we have a lot of ube products. You guys heard of ube, right? It's for the listeners that don't know, what is ube? Like, it is a purple yam. So it's a sweet purple yam, mostly grown in the Philippines, Japan, and Hawaii. And so what us Filipinos do is that we make it into like a yam or a paste, and then we add it to our desserts. And it's purple. If you want, you could Google it. It's U-B-E, ube. And you'll see a bunch of different ube pastries. And the one popular dessert that we sell, well, we have two or three, but the two that are competing against each other is our coconut ube rolls. The Samoan name for it is ube pangi popo. So ube and then P-A-N-I and then P-O-P-O. So what it is ube, the purple yam, or the purple yam jam paste inside of like, think of like a Cinnabon or like a cinnamon roll, but instead the purple paste. And then I bake coconut milk, sweet coconut milk with the, oh I see, what's his face? Oh my wow. We missed that at Stockton Flavor. So there's that. And then a creation, I'd say it's probably more popular than the ube coconut roll. It's called our Filamoas. And you're probably curious, listeners, what Filamoas, what is that? So you guys heard of the Samoas, the Girl Scout cookies, right?
Yep.
Oh, I love them. And Thin Mints. And so I was exploring a new dessert because, you know, people love one dessert and they're like, when are you going to come up with another one? I'm like, oh, my creative mind. So I was like, you know what? I'm Samoan and Filipino. And there's these cookie, Girl Scout cookies called Samoas. And I was like, how could I make it Filipino and Samoan? So instead of the dark chocolate that you guys see on the Samoa cookie, right? I actually dip my cookies. So everything's the same, the coconut, the caramel, the shortbread cookie. But instead of the dark chocolate, I put ube white chocolate.
Ooh.
Yeah.
My
so
goodness.
I know. That is our number
one. Yeah, sounds terrible.
Yeah. We're going to have to put a warning on this podcast. Yeah, this may make you hungry.
Yeah, God.
So, yeah, those are probably our top two most popular desserts. So, yeah, if you guys are listening, check out. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, Taloas Bakery, Taloas, and then bakery.
So, yeah. I'm going to have to make it the mission here. I have never had ube before.
Okay.
I don't eat. I kind of cut out a few years ago sugar out of my diet, so I don't eat a lot of sweets. But if someone's going to try, would those be the two things you'd recommend for someone to get into the Filipino Samoan pastry vibe? Or what would be the way to, like, if I'm a little nervous to eat something purple, is there starting area?
Yes. Okay. There we go. Oh, this is a very good question because I'm always like, eat it. And then people are like forced to eat ube and they're like, I don't want to try it. So let's see. What is a beginner ube type of dessert? Because
a
I
gateway
know it,
ube.
Yeah. Because I know it can be intimidating, like purple. Like, I've never seen that before. Like, so I would say, oh, this is a really good question. If you were to go to, I'm trying to think, because there's not a lot of, and that's the reason why I created Taloas Bakery, because there's Filipino bakeries out there, but not a lot of Samoan bakeries. So that's why I wanted to bring Samoan pastries to the mainstream. So I'm trying.
Yeah, tell us from your bakery. Yeah. What do you think would be a good start if you're trying Taloas? Like, how do we get into this new cuisine? What would you recommend people try? Like, when they first see you somewhere, what should they pick out?
Usually, what people go for is our Filamoas because it's familiar to them.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, oh, I had Girl Scout cookies, so what is this purple stuff? So they eat it and they're like, oh, wow, this is amazing. So, Wes, next time I see you or whenever, if I can stop by the office.
Yeah. He'll take a bite. He'll take a bite. Yeah.
And it's interesting too, because it's like the second person we've interviewed on our podcast that does something around ube, of course. So this purple craze, I feel like it's going to keep growing. So I know you don't, where do people find you right now? I mean, how do people enjoy what you're selling?
Yes. Yeah, so currently I'm only taking orders online. I do pop-up events, but I have, so and this is again, like my boyfriend telling me, you need to slow down. So I have my full-time job, you know, like 40 hours a week, right? I also have Taloas Bakery, which I try to set up, you know, that's why, the reason why I couldn't join Stockton Flavor Fest last year is because I didn't have staff. Because it would have just been me. And I know
that happens.
I know you guys, you know, I know festivals.
Yeah, right.
It cannot just be me. So that was proud of it. And then I also have my nonprofit called Community Hub that I'm a part of. So three things. It's like three full-time jobs. So Taloas Bakery kind of has been taking a break at the moment. Currently, we're looking for a pop-up or like a location in Stockton.
A permanent location?
Yeah. So we're looking. Ooh. Yeah. So if you guys know, any locations or brick and mortar spaces, let me know. Because a lot of going back to Amy's question, like how was the Samoan Filipino desserts received? A lot of people love the idea. You know, foodies, people love new. They just want to take a picture for the gram, pretty much. Like, look at guys, like never before seen, you know, they love the whole glitz and glamour of that. So it's mostly, I always thank my followers and my supporters is because they're the reasons why I'm successful. make the product.
The pressure for a baker, right? It's like twofold. It's not just that it has to taste good, but you made a good point. It has to photograph well. And that's such an important part of what you do, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so true.
But we're looking for a space. I kind of took a break from it for a little bit because of my full time. I had to help plan a conference last week. So I've been MIA and then community hub with our stuff for a nonprofit.
Well, I think that's a good segue into the community hub and what you have going on. So, like mentioned, you are the founder of the community hub and you guys are hosting a big festival. So when this podcast comes out, it will be the coming weekend called the FAM Festival. So first of all, tell us a little bit about what the community hub is. And then if you forget, we will have you tell us all about the FAM Festival too. So start with the community hub.
Okay, awesome. So community hub, really, again, I was inspired by the nonprofit in San Francisco called Undiscovered. And what they did, you guys probably know, I've said it so many times, I'm half Samoan and Filipino. So I didn't know moving to Stockton. And this is probably the reason why you've seen my name around a lot is I really didn't know that there was a huge Filipino-American history here. And I feel kind of ashamed about not knowing that because that's a part of our history. And so when I started Community Hub, what it was replicating Undiscovered, basically starting events to create economic development, not only for the Filipino community, but also for the Stockton community too. So again, going back to Amy and Wes, like, don't tempt me about volunteering because I'll help you. So again, with what opportunities we create for Community Hub and Wes, I even had a meeting with him a couple months ago where he's right. You guys had to outsource a lot of talent from the Bay Area and Sacramento. And there's like, it's really hard to find. Food trucks are abundant here in Stockton, but when it comes to like the pop-up tents, like not everyone has the right permits. Not everyone has the right, you know, kitchen, because we need a commercial kitchen in order to cook on site. So we just recently got our 501c3 paperwork. I know with the paperwork for that it took so long, but we're so happy that we received that. We're also going to be fiscally sponsored by Cultivate Labs. They are the ones that actually started Undiscovered in San Francisco. They saw what I was doing with Community Hub. It was pretty much the same thing they were doing. So they were like, you need help. We will help you. So that's we're very awesome. Grateful. We're very grateful for Cultivate Labs for helping our community. And as Community Hub is evolving, I'm realizing that what our goal is we hope, this is our hope, is to create Little Manila. And Little Manila in Stockton is a historical location in Stockton. We're hoping to make it an official cultural district. So that way, with making it an official cultural district, we can get some funding in there to hopefully renovate some buildings. Eventually, we want to make a garden, you know, so a lot of that's like a five-year plan for Mariah. Yeah, right? Yeah, but right now we're building our presence with our events. Again, our events are inspired by Amy and Wes, what you guys do for Visit Stockton, your guys' Stockton Flavor Fest. Our upcoming event is FAM Fest Stockton. It is Filipino American History Month, the month of October. If you guys didn't know, listeners, the month of October is not only Halloween for the Filipino community, it is celebrating Filipino American history. So that is October 22nd, and it's actually going to be at Delta College. We have a great lineup of performers. I don't know if you guys know Ruby Ibarra. She's going to be there. A couple local local artists as well, DJ Lex. The committee that we have that's planning FAMFest is amazing. We have a couple people. Well, Jeff Bayani, he works with K-Win. He was able to help us get some performers along with Darlene. Darlene is the sister of Don Mabalan. So the event is actually dedicated to Don Mabalan. So for listeners who don't know who Don Mabalan is, she was the one that really... what's this word I'm looking for?
She was like the pioneer for Little Manila. Yeah.
Yes. You guys, thank you. You're guys welcome. Like, no. Thank you. She's the pioneer for Little Manila. She's also one of the founders of Little Manila Rising in Stockton. So we work really close. Community Hub works close with Little Manila Rising and FONS, a Stockton chapter. So we're rounding up the organizations because when I talk to both organizations, I say, this is not just about us as individual organizations. This is a collective. This is about our community and our history. And we want to continue that legacy for Don. So that's what's going on with Community Hub and, and Stockton Fan Fest.
So other than the entertainment, what else can folks find at this?
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah, so we have a couple of vendors. Casa Pinoy is going to be there.
Awesome.
We have Elle's Kitchen, a soul food tent, because we wanted to keep it, because we know, like, not only Filipino food, every other, you know, other cuisines are welcome as well. There's going to be ube there, Wes, so if you want to try some ube.
I'm not going to Taloa's Bakeries there, I'm just saying.
I know. Once I build my team, I was looking at the application for Stockton Flavor Fest, by the way, and I was just like, okay. I'm like, if I sign up this time, I have to be really serious about it. Because I felt so bad.
Don't make us delete this podcast, Mara. Right.
But yeah, I'm like, I have to round up my family and say, hey, we got to do this. Like,
it's only a 3-day commitment. No big deal.
Yeah, I know. I know, for real. It's only 3 days.
Maybe 4, including sew-up. Yeah, right. Or setup, excuse me. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I dig it. Well, we're very excited for FanFest. I saw, too, on the website that this is actually the 20-year anniversary of the designation of the Little Manila Historic Site in downtown Stockton. So that's very cool. So I'm sure that will be celebrated in a big way, too. So, and Wes, I commandeered your last question. So if you want to ask my last question, you're welcome.
Well, that's fine. So we asked the same question, Mariah, to all of our guests. And so if you have someone visiting you from out of town, where do you like to take them in Stockton?
Yes. So as a recent Stocktonian, I like to say that I was a San Franciscan and now I'm a Stocktonian now. When people come to visit, the place that I like to take people, and it's a recent it's a recent place that me and my boyfriend like to go to for our lunch or dinner dates, is it's called Papa Pablo's. Yes. And the appetizer that we always get, I don't know if you guys, most likely you guys have been to Papa Pablo's. It's the, what is it? It's
Saganaki?
No, it's the squid. They have
flaming cheese there too.
The calamari steak.
Oh.
The calamari steak, yes. We always get it. Like, my boyfriend's like, one for you, one for me. Like, it's our entrees.
Hey, whatever works. Mediterranean food is so good. I know. It's one of my favorite foods.
Well, if you haven't tried their Saganaki, that is that's flaming cheese. And so they do it tableside, and they pour some ouzo on it, and they catch it on fire so the flames go up. And then you get a little pita, and you put hot, melty cheese on it. I mean, honestly, it just sells itself.
A Greek fondue.
It's very much like that. So real quick, also just remind us again where people can find information about Taloa's Bakery, Community Hub. Just give us all your handles, Instagram, websites, whatever you want. Make sure we're promoting you.
Yeah. Thank you guys again so much, Amy and Wes, for having me here on your podcast for Visit Stockton. Such an amazing city if you guys are out in the area. Like I said, it's a hidden gem. And so if you would like to know more information about Taloa's Bakery and Community Hub, you guys can go ahead and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. So handles are Taloa's Bakery. And then Instagram for Community Hub is Community Hub. And so community is with a K. So there we go.
We dig it.
Yeah,
awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And everyone, be sure to get out to FamFest this weekend on the 22nd. It is a free event over at Delta College, and it'll be a good time. So thanks so much, you guys. And now we are going to head over to our friend Anthony for a special spooky Stockton pop culture moment.
Thank you, Wes. Thank you, Amy. Seeing that it's spooky season, I thought today would be a perfect time to get a little dark. See, since 1849, Stockton has been home to years of history. With history comes the potential for hot spots, paranormal hot spots that may go bump in the night. Here's just a few known locations in Stockton alleged to be haunted. This is Haunted Stockton. On the long paved border between Stockton and Lodi that stretches past Oak Grove Regional Park and Elkhorn Golf Club, 8 Mile Road can already appear spooky when you cruise down it at night. However, aside from its appearance, many who have frequented the road have experienced paranormal activity. Some have witnessed what is known only as the woman in the white dress walking on the side of the road who may choose to suddenly appear in your back seat. Others tell a tale of a young Native American girl walking the same stretch. There have also been claims of a loud scream heard in the middle of the night in this area. Whether the scream is the woman in white or the young girl, you'll have to go investigate for yourself. The legendary Bob Hope Fox Theater in downtown Stockton has been the home to thousands of acts since its doors opened in 1930. According to staff who work there, it is also the residence for some otherworldly beings. Along with rapid temperature drops and a mysterious tap on the shoulder, guests have witnessed a man and a woman dressed in Victorian attire in the balcony area, looking down at the stage. Could they be taking in a show from their realm or watching you? Built in 1910, the elegant Hotel Stockton has played the role of a 252-room hotel, city hall, county courthouse, and the public administration department in its over 110 years in existence. In that time, Hotel Stockton is alleged to have had three particular beings that have haunted its halls. The white suit smoker, who can be seen smoking while standing on a stool in the back area by the stairs. The wandering ghost on the fourth floor, who is said to be that of a man who was killed in one of the rooms in the 1960s. And the ghostly pianist, who tickles the ivories at night from the ballroom on the sixth floor. Then there's the B&M building, home to Visit Stockton and the Downtown Stockton Alliance. It's the second oldest brick building in the city. It is also the home of a ghost named Lydia. DSA employees on the third floor have gone on the record with their first-hand accounts of a woman in a hair bun and long brown dress roaming the halls and gazing out windows. Additionally, cold spots, faint music, and the scent of cigars have randomly roamed the floor. And lastly, there is the eye-opening legends of the Stockton State Hospital, formerly known as the Stockton State Insane Asylum. Built in 1853, it was the state's first hospital for the mentally ill, and it had quite a reputation from the very beginning. A superintendent was accused of forcing patients to build his house and underreporting deaths under his watch. Patients were shackled, and some sterilized against their will, and like many hospitals at the time, lobotomies were considered appropriate treatment. Today, that very stretch of land that once housed the hospital is now the home of the Stockton campus of CSU Stanislaw. And while the halls there are now used for higher education instead of forced isolation, one can only wonder if the spirits of those once imprisoned are still there, now roaming the corridors of the current institution. This is Haunted Stockton.
Oh, thank you, Anthony. I don't know, you guys. I've been working with Lydia here in our office for a year and a half, and it's freaky.
So I've been in this building 9 years now, right? And so I have never had any Lydia sightings in our office. And this building, I mean, you got to figure this building was technically like a brothel in the 1800s. It was a, you know, it was a lodging place, but you can only imagine what happened.
You can only imagine. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there's probably more than Lydia who've died in this building. So I wouldn't doubt the hauntedness. But what I do find interesting, and again, I don't have these feelings, but we've had people walk in this office and say, wow, there's a presence here. And we've had people see and feel her presence. So some people are very sensitive to paranormal things. And so, and we've had the paranormal group go through our building and do all that stuff. So I don't know, maybe.
And it lights up.
If you're into that stuff, come by and give us a visit before we move at the end of the year.
Yeah, before we move to another old haunted building. So I'm certain of it.
For sale. If you want to buy it, the ghost is included.
Yeah, Lydia hasn't bothered us by any means. Sometimes weird stuff happens. We blame it on her, but maybe we should start giving her some more credit. Maybe she's responsible for some of these awards and whatnot. I don't know. So thanks, Lydia, if you're listening. Oh, God. All right. And with that, it's my favorite time to talk about all the fun things that are happening in Stockton coming up. So On Saturday, October 22nd, our friends at Stockton Soul are presenting the Sound and Mind Celebration. It is a benefit concert honoring the life and music of Jonathan Ivey, who is one of their founders. And it will be at The Well, which is a really cool coffee shop slash print studio slash music hub in downtown Stockton, south of Harding, north of downtown. And it's a musical celebration. So Stockton Soul is this like celebration of Black American music in Stockton. The group has performed at Stockton Flavor Fest. We actually just shot a really cool video series with them. And it seems like there's always like new people in the group. They kind of fluctuate who's in, who's out. It was a group that was put together during COVID. Age ranges from children to adults. And they put on a great show. There's a huge horn section, which if you work with me in my office or anyone who's remotely involved in my life, you know I love any sort of horn section. So they have a great brass section and it's going to be very fun. So you can get tickets for their event either on our website or at StocktonSoul.com. So it is worth checking out and being a part of.
No, and I'm glad they're doing it at The Well, because I think that's a kind of a new venue and a lot of folks don't know where it is. And actually, I've heard a lot. We have a burger blog, right? And people have been commenting on that social media post that The Well makes a very awesome burger. So
I guess we're going to have to go on a field trip.
Sounds like it. Well, yep. To transition into another event on Sunday, October 23rd, also involving somebody that was at Stockton Flavor Fest. The Stockton Corral is performing with Mariachi Bonitas, and it's called The Sights and Sounds of Mexico, and it's going to be at the Atherton Auditorium at Delta College on the 23rd at 3:30 p.m., and Mariachi Bonitas is an all-female mariachi band, and they are hecka cool. They've been on Kelly Clarkson twice, and they're out of Sacramento, but there is members that are local. So if you want to go check out Mariachi Bonitas, the Stockton Corral at the Atherton Auditorium, mark your calendars for Sunday, October 23rd.
I know this October and November tend to be a very big like arts and cultural celebration time for us in Stockton. So even the next weekend, so on Saturday, October 29th, it is the Dia de los Muertos Street Fiesta hosted by the Mexican Heritage Center and Gallery. So there's going to be four blocks shut down in downtown from 11 to 5. And there's going to be mariachis, ballet folklorico dance groups. They're going to have a classic car show, Aztec dancers, children's activities, all sorts of really cool celebrations in honor of the Day of the Dead, which is a Mexican holiday celebrated throughout the country of Mexico by people of the heritage and elsewhere, and celebrating the lives of the loved ones that they have lost. Kind of like, you know, a positive celebration of all these people and their stories. So that'll be a very fun day in downtown. So make sure you go check it out. Also a free event. So you just got to show up and have fun.
No, they always put on a great event. It's right in front of the Mexican Heritage Center in downtown, and they have a great art gallery there. So if you're there, I'd encourage you to check that out. And if you really want to wear the proper attire, we actually sell a Sugar Skull shirt for Stockton that actually looks pretty good. So StocktonSouvenirs.com, shameless plug for Sugar Skull shirt, because they are always very popular. And also that same weekend, the Stockton Symphony is doing two back-to-back performances on the 29th and the 30th, also at Delta College, Atherton's Auditorium. And this one's called Stockton Symphony Fantastique in the Atherton Auditorium. You know, that's my fantastic. You like that? That's kind of cool. Yeah. So it's a traditional symphony performance, but it's kind of themed, right? So they're doing music from the Sorcerer's Apprentice from Ducasse. They call this a humorous tale of a newbie's foray into the magical realm. And then Liszt's, they're doing Totentanz, which is fiery drama and a pianistic fireworks. Pianistic?
Pianist. Maybe the piano keys make some. It's something, like orchestrate, like the what was that movie called? The Disney one,
Right, the Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Fantasia. There we
Fantasia,
go.
Fantasia, yes. Because I feel like the Sorcerer's Apprentice is part of Fantasia, right? Isn't that where the brooms and the mops do all that?
Yes. So anyway,
So then the last part is the Symphony Fantastique, a blockbuster musical epic of romance and fantasy. So if you like, cool. High energy symphony. So it's not the more traditional like Beethoven and Bach stuff that some people may have an aversion to. Go check out the symphony, because this sounds pretty legit. Like it's going to be fun, and it's going to be fantastique, I think. So
fantastique.
So anyway, that's at the Delta College Atherton Auditorium.
Love it. And then if you guys haven't, if your sweet tooth hasn't been satisfied by talking about Tolo's Bakery this whole episode, there is a ton of cool community trick-or-treating opportunities happening all during the month of October. I was going to write them all down, but there's like 15 different ones on there. So check out the website. Everywhere from Miracle Mile to Yosemite Street to the YMCA is doing different holiday celebrations. So you can check it out. And you can find all sorts of events and happenings on your city's largest events calendar at visitstockton.org. And when you're there, you can sign up for our weekly events newsletter.
Well, we want to be sure to thank Mariah again for being with us today at Tolo's Bakery. I'm going to put it on my bucket list to have some ube, and I can't wait to try her bakery. Make sure you go visit her event this weekend. But thank you again, Mariah, for being here. We greatly appreciate it.
And for supporting Images and Insights, be sure to follow at This Is Stockton Podcast on Instagram and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. To stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton, follow at Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. And we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Estes with Visit Stockton, and produced by Relic.